Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Lamed Tes, and we begin the brand new fourth perek, a beautiful perek, continuing the discussion of the Kohen Gadol's Avoda on Yom Kippur. And we begin the brand new Mishnah. Torath Bekalfi, the Kohen Gadol goes and quickly, that's the way Rashi understands this, we had this lottery box that we talked about in the previous perek, and he had to go quickly take it out. Torath, Rashi says, the lashon of pisom, betrifa ubechatifa. He quickly grabbed the lotteries from the box. There were the two lots, one that said on it Lashem, one that said on it Lazazel, and he quickly grabbed them so he shouldn't be able to feel and say, because the name Lashem and Lazazel were engraved or chiseled into these lotteries, he shouldn't be able to have time to figure out that he should pull up in his right hand the one that said Lashem, because that was a good simon, and it would also show that he was a good Kohen Gadol, because, as we'll see in the Gemara, when they were righteous Kohen Gadolim, they always came up in the right hand. So that's the simple understanding that Rashi has of Torath Bekalfi. On the other hand, the Rabbeinu Chananel and the Tosfos Yeshanim bring down that this comes from a Lashon like a Beitzah Trufa, a scrambled egg. So they would shake up and be Ma'arvev, the Kalfi, so that the lots inside couldn't be known what they were. You shake up the lottery box before you pull out the lottery. In any event, Torath Bekalfi, this Kalfi is the lottery that would allow us to know which sar was Lashem, which sar was Lazazel. The Ritva says that this is not a din daraisa, that you have to do this with the lottery, but the Tosfos Yeshanim brings down for the Torah's Kohanim that in fact this was a din daraisa, that you needed to use a lottery. And one couldn't just select arbitrarily, and one couldn't do it in any other way, but one needed to do this type of a lottery. In any event, the Kohen Gadol would be himself putting his hand, our Mishnah holds that the Kohen Gadol put both of his hands inside the lottery box, and he pulled out one of the lotteries with his right hand, and the other he took out with his left hand. We'll see in the Gemara, there'll be a different opinion. So, Torah Bekalfi, Ve'lo Shnei Gorolos, and he pulled out with his hands the two Gorolos, the two lots, Echad Kosev Olav L'Shem. One of them said this will be for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This will be the Yichatas that will be brought inside, the Sar that will be brought inside, Lefnai V'Lefnim, and the Avodah done there. And the other one, the Echad Kosev Olav Lazazel, that was written on it, Lazazel, and that would be sent out with the Ish Iti outside the encampment that would go. We'll learn about this a little bit later in the Masechta. The Kapara that this would apply for Klai Yisrael, we'll learn about as well. So the Kohen Gadol took out in his right hand one of the lots, and in his left hand the other lot, and the lottery that said on Lashem, many say, was said on it Yud Kei Vav Kei. It had the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on it in two lines. It had La on the bottom line, and then Yud Kei Vav Kei on the top line, similar to the Tzitz. And Haskan Bimino, the Skan Kohen Gadol, who would take over for the Kohen Gadol if Casey became Tamei or Rachman al-Hassani died. So he would stand to the right of the Kohen Gadol. Virosh Beisav Mismolu, and the head of the Beisav that was supposed to work this week on the day that Yom Kippur came out, so the head of that Mishmor is Beisav for that day, so he stood to the left of the Kohen Gadol. And Im Shol Shem Ola Bimino, the Kohen Gadol then showed everybody what hand he brought up in his right hand, was it the one that was Lashem or was it the one that was Lazazel? So Askan Omelo, so the Skan very happily said to him, Ishi Kohen Gadol, my master. Ishi, we said, is the Lashon of Adon, my master. Ishi Kohen Gadol, Hagbe Yemincha, raise your right hand. In other words, show everybody that it was a good simon, that it should go up in your right hand. However, Im Shel Shem, Ola Bismolo, but if the one that was the Sar Lashem was in his left hand, so then, instead of having the Vice Kohen Gadol, the Skan Kohen Gadol say anything, so the Rosh Beis Av Omer Lo, so the one that was on the left of the Kohen Gadol said, Ishi Kohen Gadol, Hagbei Smocha, raise your left hand, and this would symbolize to the people that the Soil Lazazel was the one on the right hand, which was a negative simon, and the Soil Lashem would be on the left hand of the Kohen Gadol. That was the one that would be brought inside to do the Avodah, Lifnai V'Lifnim. Nisanon Al Shnei Hasirim. They then would place the lots on each of the serum. The one that was Lashem would be placed on the Sar Lashem, and the one that was Sar Lazazel would be placed on the Sar Lazazel, and of Omer, and he would say, Lahashem Chatos. According to the first opinion that we have here in the Mishnah, the Kohen Gadol would say that this is the one Lahashem for a Chatos. Rabbi Shmuel disagrees. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, no. Lo tzarech, lo hayot tzarech lomar Chatos. He didn't actually have to say this will be for a Chatos. Elo Lashem, just like the Pasuk says, Goral Lechot Lahashem. All he had to do was say Lahashem. It's interesting, the Tosfos Yeshanim and others point out over here that instead of saying Chatos LaHashem, which is the normal way that we say something if you're designating something as a neder or an adava to be a korban, so we're always concerned that a person may change their mind. So therefore you say Chatos, you want this to be Chatos LaHashem. You say Hashem's name afterwards, so you don't say Hashem's name in vain. If you say LaHashem and then you change your mind, so then if you forget to do it or something comes up, so then you just said Hashem's name in vain. So how come we don't say over here, like we normally do, Chatos LaHashem? Why is it LaHashem Chatos? So the Mefarshim bring down several answers. They basically all revolve around the same principle that you're doing this in the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohen is certainly not going to not say LaHashem Chatos. If he just says LaHashem, it certainly will be brought as a Chatos anyway. Kohanim's reason, the other Kohanim will make sure that he does this, or that technically all he had to do was say LaHashem. He didn't really have to say LaHashem Chatos. So in other words, that's why the order is reversed. Instead of saying Chatos LaHashem, we say over here LaHashem Chatos. Okay. Now, the Mishnah concludes, this is L'kuli Yama, Tein Omer Achrov, the entire population that's standing there, whether we said L'Hashem Chatos or we said L'Hashem, so everybody answers when they hear the Shem of Hashem. This is one of the 10 times, we'll see this in the Gemara, that the Kohen Gadol says the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Yud Kei Vav Kei, he pronounces the name of Hashem, so they all answer, as they do in the Beis HaMikdosh, Baruch Shem Kivod Machuso Li'olam Va'ed. And this is, of course, something that we say on Yom Kippur. We say it all out loud. We want to be domed to the Malachim. The Malachim had this special praise for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Shem for Machzol Yol Ve'ed, which when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim, he heard the Malachim say this, so we say this on Yom Kippur. We're domed to Malachim, so therefore we say as well on Yom Kippur, all day long, the Baruch Shem for Machzol Yol Ve'ed, out loud. In any event, that's what they would answer when they heard the Shem of Hashem. Morris starts off and says, Loma li Torah b'kalfi, why do we need to have over here this? He grabs it out from the lottery box, as Rashi says, pisol, and very quickly, b'trifo b'chatifa, he grabs it, or that he shook it up according to the opinion of Rabbi Yochananel and other Rishonim. So the Gemara says, ki hechi lo nikavein v'lishko, that he shouldn't go intentionally and try to figure out by feeling for the letters that were chiseled into the lotteries, which one was LaHashem and which one was LaZazel, and therefore there shouldn't be any shenanigans over here. Now the Mefarshim will ask, you're dealing over here with the Kohen Gadol, so we're really thinking that he's going to do shenanigans? So some simply answer, yeah, we're talking about the Bayi Sheni. They weren't really worthy of being Kohen Gadol. They knew that there's almost a guarantee it's going to come up in their left hand, so therefore they would try to pull shenanigans to make sure that it came up in the right hand. Others suggest that no, Kohen Gadol really wouldn't want to play a game over here, but he wanted to make sure it was a sin and tov for Klai Yisrael. So even an Eruch HaKohen might somehow try to fix things so that the Hashem comes out in his right hand. In any event, on my Rava says, this kalfi, this lottery box, shall eitzai, so it was made out of wood. Remember we learned previously it was made out of ashkara, a certain type of wood, and ultimately, Zorchalat Tov, we said that they changed it to make it out of gold. Furthermore, v'shal chol ha'israel, it wasn't a klisharis, it was made out of wood, and we'll see, since it was made out of wood, it couldn't be a Kli Sharis. We'll have this discussion in a moment in the Gemara, so it didn't have the Kedusha of a Kli Sharis. It was very small, so the Kohen Gadol could only put his hands in there. He couldn't really feel around and move it around, so it was very tight space, so he would just pull out the lots from this lottery box without being able to play, make any shenanigans to make sure that the Lashem came up in his right hand. So that's what Rava said. Maskevla Ravina. Ravina asks him this, and he says, "Bishlomo einu machazekes elu shtei yadayim." I understand why there's no room for more than two hands inside there. So this should be ki hechid luchavei milishko. So he shouldn't go make shenanigans, and he shouldn't go and figure out which one was the one Lashem and make sure that comes up in his right hand. However, elu shachol. Nikancha. Why did they bedavka have to make it out of chol? It wasn't a klisharis, so make it into a klisharis. And some suggest that this was an avoda, so then it had to be a klisharis. Where it says, no, im kain, if this was a klisharis, it would be problematic, because havalei klisharis shall eitz. This would be a wooden klisharis, and there's a machlokas about this, and this goes according to the opinion, no klisharis eitz lo avdin, and we don't make a klisharis out of wood. The Tosfos Yerushalmi brings down over here that even if you hold like the opinion, like Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, that says that a Kli Sharis is allowed to be made out of wood. Nevertheless, you should still make it out of metal. So therefore, the Gemara's question over here, why don't we make it out of metal? V'navda the kesef, v'navda the zov. Why don't we specifically go make it out of gold or out of silver? So even according to Mount Yom, it says out of wood it would be good. So then why don't we make it still midrabban? And it would certainly be nice to make it out of gold or silver. So the Gemara says, no, HaTorah Chos HaMom Shal Yisrael. That we learn out, Rashi brings down, other Mepharshim bring down over here, the famous Gemara that we learned that when a house has tsaras, so once it's declared that the house has tsaras by the Kohen, so all the utensils in the house become tummy. So there's no problem if it's a metal utensil, you bring it to the mikveh and you can be mitar. However, if it's kli cheres, if it's an earthenware utensil, so then the only way you can kasher an earthenware utensil is to break it, and that would destroy the kli. So therefore, before the Kohen declares the house to be a house that has saras, the Torah tells us you're allowed to go and take all the utensils out of the house. Some suggest you're chuyav to take all the utensils out of the house. Why is that? Because they would be ruined. And even though they're relatively inexpensive, earthenware utensils are relatively inexpensive, nevertheless, Torah is chos al mamon shel Yisrael. So that's the source for this din. And therefore, this kalfi could be made out of wood, and they didn't make it out of gold or silver to save Klal Yisrael money. Gemara continues and says that our Mishnah, which said that the Kohen Gadol stuck both his right and left hand inside into the kalfi to take it out, obviously the use of the left hand in this situation is allowed. Normally all avodas are done with the right hand, but here he has no choice. So he does part of it with the right hand and part of it with the left hand. So the Tana of our Mishnah holds that only the Kohen Gadol does this, but this is not consistent with a different Tanoic opinion. Masnisan, our Mishnah, the low Ki Aitana, is not in accord with the following opinion of this Brisa, the Tana of this Brisa, the Tanya. Rav Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. Rav Yehuda says the name of Rabbi Eliezer, Haskan the Kohen Gadol, Machnisan Yoda Bakalpi. That not the only the Kohen Gadol, but this opinion prefers that it be done with the right hand, and therefore the Kohen Gadol puts his right hand in, and the Skan Kohen Gadol puts his right hand in, and each of them pulls out one of the two lots. And in Bimino Shel Kohen Gadol Ola, if the Lahashem comes up in the hand of the Kohen Gadol, so Haskan Omelo, so the vice Kohen Gadol tells him, Ishi Kohen Gadol, my master, Kohen Gadol, Hagbe Yimin Chosho Diyam, make a big declaration over here that Baruch Hashem, it's a good simon that it came up in your right hand. However, but if the kalfi that was Lashem came up in the hands of the vice Kohen Gadol, which is not a good simon, so Rosh Beis Av Omer Lo, so the head of the Mishmor's Beis Av for that day, that would have been Yom Kippur, they would have been working, says to the Kohen Gadol, Daber Miloch, say your thing. In other words, say that this is Lashem Chatos or Lashem, according to the Machlokas we had in the Mishnah. Bottom line is, here you clearly see that this author of this Brisa, Yehuda, Omer Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, holds that the Kohen Gadol didn't stick both of his hands in, but the Kohen Gadol stuck his right hand in, and the Skan Kohen Gadol stuck his right hand in. So clearly this agrees with our Mishnah. Now, the Gemara questions this Brisa. It says, V'neimele Skan, why do we have the head of the Beis Av, the Rosh Beis Av, tell the Kohen Gadol, Daber Miloch? Why didn't we have, like in our Mishnah, that the Skan should go and tell the Kohen Gadol, raise your right hand, like he does over here? And why do we have the Rosh Beis Av say to the Kohen Gadol, well, Daber Miloch? Why is the Skan saying both of them, either Hagbe Yodcha or Daber Miloch? So Gemara says, Kivan the Lo Solik Bidei, since, unfortunately, the lottery, the lot that was for the Kodesh Hashem didn't come up in the Kohen Gadol's hands, so Chosho Daite, so the Kohen Gadol is already in a bad mood, so to say, he's disheartened, and therefore there'll be even a bigger slap in his face if the vice Kohen Gadol said, ha ha, say that I'm the one that has the soil Hashem. So therefore it's a little bit less of a slap in the Kohen's face to have the Rosh Beis Av say this. Okay, so now we can try to see what the machlokas is between the Tana of our Mishnah, who says that it's proper for the Kohen Gadol to pull up both lots, versus the Tana over here in the Braiser of Yehuda, Omer Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, that it's preferable to have the Kohen Gadol and the Skan Kohen Gadol each take out one lot, but both use their right hands. So Michael Miflagi, what is the machlokas over here? So the author of the Braisa, Ma'ar Savar, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, Yamina the Skan Odif Mismali the Kohen Gadol. Then it's like an avoda. It's not a real avoda, but you want to do it with your right hand. If it was a real avoda and it had to be done with the right hand, then it would be impossible for the Kohen Gadol to do it with his left hand. But just like there are certain things that we'll learn about still in the Masechta, the Kohen Gadol had to carry some things in his right hand and some things in his left hand when it's a situation of Efshar, so you're allowed to use your left hand. So even though this isn't a real avoda, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Mishum Rabbi Lezer, is it still preferable to do it with your right hand? We have another right hand. Let the Skan Kohen Gadol, let his right hand be involved, rather than having the Kohen Gadol use his left hand. That's the opinion of the Braisa. On the other hand, the author of our Mishnah, Ma'isav, Kiyadadi Ninu. No, what difference does it make? At the Kohen Gadol, everything had to be done on Kippur by the Kohen Gadol. Again, even though it's not Navodah, so technically it didn't have to be done by the Kohen Gadol. As much as possible, we want to do everything by the Kohen Gadol. So therefore, better to have the Kohen Gadol use his left hand than have the Skan Kohen Gadol use his right hand. Bari asks, Uman Haitana, the polyglot of the Yehuda, who's the author of our Mishnah that argues with Yehuda, Omer Mishum Rabbi Eliezer? The author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Chanina, Skana Kohanim. Who is Rabbi Chanina? The Skana Kohanim, he himself was the one who said, in the opinion of the Mishnah, that the Skana Kohanim doesn't do anything, that the Skana Kohanim is just there as a replacement for the Kohen Gadol if the Kohen Gadol can't work, but otherwise he doesn't do anything. That's the author of our Mishnah, that the Kohen Gadol sticks both his right and left hand into the Kalfi, and that's the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim, because we see Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim, Omer, Lomo Skan Mimino. What in the world is the Skana Kohanim doing by the right of the Kohen Gadol? It's only to show everybody, Shin Erev, Opsul, the Kohen Gadol, Nichna, Skan, Misham, Ishtachta. Everybody should realize that we got a replacement. He's right there, just in case anything doesn't go well, so we have the replacement Kohen Gadol over there. Now, the fact that he's standing over there, Rashi says, but he's not doing anything, so clearly, you see that the Kohen Gadol is the one that does all the work. All the Skan does is stand there and be ready to step in. It's a little bit like the vice president. He doesn't do anything except Chas v'shalom, something happens to the president, so then he takes over. So the Skan Kohen Gadol, he doesn't do anything, including even using his right hand to pull out one of the lottery from the Kalfi, that is all done by the Kohen Gadol. Now the Gemara is going to bring down a Braisa, which talks about one of the greatest Kohanim Gadolim of all time, Shimon HaTzadik. We're still going to learn about Shimon HaTzadik with his famous meeting with Alexander Mokedon, Alexander of Macedonia, Alexander the Great, where Alexander sees Shimon HaTzadik in his dreams every night before he goes out to battle, and that's why Alexander did not conquer Yerushalayim. So here we have another great story about Shimon HaTzadik. So Tana Rabban, the Braisa says, our boy Mishono, Shishimei Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik was a Kohen Gadol for 40 years. And Hayagorel Ole B'yomin, all 40 years that he was the Kohen Gadol, without exception, he always pulled out the lottery that said Soil Hashem in his right hand. And then statistically speaking, it's almost impossible for that to have happened by law. And therefore, obviously, this is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so appreciative of the greatness of Shimon HaTzadik, what a great Kohen Gadol he was. So it was a great siman for Klal Yisrael. Hayagorel Ole B'yomin always came up in his right hand. However, after Shimon HaTzadik, again, the machlokis exactly when Shimon HaTzadik was the Kohen Gadol, it was the very beginning of the Beis HaMikdash, or a little bit later into the Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash. So after his demise, when he died, we're going to learn the nebuch of his death after the 40 years that he was Kohen Gadol, mikan ve'elech, it would depend. There afterwards, pamu ola b'yamin, pamu ola b'smok, depending on the Kohen Gadol. Sometimes, yes, it came up in his right hand, sometimes it came up in his left hand. Likewise, during the days of Shimon HaTzadik, v'ya loshon shel zahoritz malbin. The loshon of zahoritz, Rashi tells us, was that they tied a tzemer saruk u'moshuch k'min loshon. They tied to this combed woolen, tongue-like shape, elongated piece of wool. It was colored red. It's for Edom. The koshen also berosh sari mishtalech. And they would put this tied to the horn or the head of the sari mishtalech, the soil azazel. And when they were about to push it over the cliff, v'hoya malbin me'elov, it would turn white. It was red and it turned white as a siman, shamocha l'kodesh baruch l'yisrael, that the kodesh baruch forgave Klal Yisrael for their sins, as the pasuk from Yeshaya tells us, im yu chato'echem kashonim, if your sins are red, like this red piece of wool, kashela yabinu, I will turn them white. So therefore, all 40 years in Shimon HaTzadik was the Kohen Gadol, hoya loshon shows the horis malbin, it always turned white. Afterwards, mikan va'elach, depended upon malbin, upon me'enu malbin. Sometimes it turned white, sometimes it did not, depending on the Kohen Gadol, depending on Klal Yisrael. Likewise, during the 40 years of Shimon HaTzadik's reign as Kohen Gadol, v'ya ner maravi doleg, the ner maravi always stayed lit. It never went out. So even though they only put the same amount of oil in the ner maravi as they did in all the other lamps, the six other lamps of the seven-lamp menorah, nevertheless, the ner maravi never went out. It always miraculously stayed lit. They had to actually extinguish it to go and relight it the next day. So this was another nace. Now, what was the ner maravi? So the menorah had seven lamps in it. So there are two opinions as to which orientation it was. Rashi brings down this discussion, and there's one opinion that it was in the east-west orientation. If it's in the east-west orientation, so then one would have said, on my own, I would have thought that the name Arabi is the westernmost one, so that's not correct. It's the second from the east. The eastern one is called the Neir Mizrahi, and the next one, if you're going in an east-west direction, which would be the second most eastern one, is west compared to the first one, and that's the one that's called the Neir Maravi. And that's the one that the Neis took place on. If you hold, like the other opinion that says that the menorah was in the north-south orientation, so then the three candles that are to the right or to the north of the middle candle, and they all pointed towards the middle candle, and the three candles to the left of the middle candle, they were south, they all pointed towards the middle candle, and the middle candle pointed westward towards the Kodesh Kodashim. So that one, the middle candle, according to this opinion, is the Neir Maravi. In any event, whichever one of these two possibilities was the Neir Maravi, it was always lit, it stayed lit, it had to actually be extinguished and be relit by Shimon HaTzadik, or the Kohen that was in charge of the Hatavas HaNeros and the lighting of the candles every morning. So this was a nace that occurred during all 40 years of Shimon HaTzadik's reign as Kohen Gadol. Again, afterwards, Mikan Ba'elech, after he died, Pamim Dolek, Pamim Kova. Sometimes it stayed lit all night, sometimes it did not, depending again on the greatness of the Kohen Gadol and of the people. Another miracle that occurred during Shimon HaTzadik's reign, V'ayu Eish Shomai Rochom Mizgaber, during his 40 years, the Eish on the Mizbeach, on the main pyre, on the Marocha Gedola, so that never went out. V'ayu Kohanim Tzrichim Lohavi Eitzim Marocha. They never had to add even additional firewood to it, with the only exception being Chutz Mishneg Ziri Eitzim, the two blocks of wood that they had to place on it in the Korban Tamid Shobein Harabayim. So after they put it on the Marocha in the morning, they set it up, they put on the Shnei Gezirei Eitzim in the morning, they didn't have to add any firewood to the Mizbeach. The only time they did it was the next time was to fulfill the mitzvah of the Shnei Gezirei Eitzim in the afternoon. And Kedei L'Chaim Mitzvah Eitzim, that was a mitzvah, so that's why they had to do it, but there was no need to do it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that fire inextinguishable. It didn't go out. It never used up the wood. However, after Shimon HaTzadik passed away, Mikan Ba'elech, so dependent on the Kohen Gadol, Palm in Mizgaber, Palm in Mizgaber. And indeed, when it wasn't lasting, they had to constantly bring wood and bring wood and bring wood so that the fire would keep on going, because there was no assistance, because Chai Yisrael didn't deserve or merit the divine assistance that they had during the days of Shimon HaTzadik. Furthermore, during the 40 years that Shimon HaTzadik was a Kohen Gadol, v'nishtalcha bracha ba'omer u'b'shtei alechem u'lechem aponim, all the different types of breads that the Kohanim were entitled to eat, such as the bread from the Minchas Omer that was brought on the first day of Chol Hamoed Pesach, when the Korban Omer was brought. So in this situation, that Mincha offering was allowed to be eaten by the Kohanim. And likewise, there was the Shtei HaLechem that were brought with the Shtei Kivsei Atzeres on Shavuos, the Korban Shlomim, there was a Korban Tzibur on Shavuos, had with it the two breads. And likewise, the Lechem Aponim that were brought every Shabbos and taken off, the old ones taken off on Shabbos, still piping hot, and the new ones were put down. So these breads of the Omer, of the Shtei HaLechem, and of the Lechem Aponim were eaten by the Kohanim. So during the days of Shimon HaTzadik, when all of these breads were given this additional bracha, nishtachal bracha with them, and therefore the kokoin shemagia kizayis, any coin that even had only a kizayis of this was very, very happy, and he was zocha to have the mitzvah, that all the kohanim that wanted got a kizayis. And yesh ochel v'saveya, and there were others that would be eating, and even before they ate a kizayis, they would eat kidei saviya. So there was a tremendous bracha that was in these breads. V'yesh ochel u'moser, there was some that couldn't even eat the entire kizayis because it was too much for them. However, after Shimon HaTzadik passed away, so in Ebuch things changed. And now, no longer was there this bracha, and in fact, nishtalcha me'ira, there was a curse that was now attached to the Omer, and Shtei Alechem, Alechem upon him, and that they didn't say shit anymore, and that not everybody got a kizayis. The kol kohen magio kipol. And in fact, every kohen only got a kipol, like a bean, a certain type of a bean, smaller. The Rashi elsewhere says this is much smaller than a kizayis. And because they weren't getting kizayis, and because it didn't satiate you, so the tznuim, they said, what's the point in eating this? We're not fulfilling a mitzvah, because you only get a mitzvah if you eat a kizayis, and we're not getting benefit from it being satiated, because it's such a small amount, and there was no bracha in it. So at tznuim, Moshe Nisidayim, so the tznuim kohanim, they no longer took it. V'agargonim, but the gluttonous kohanim, notlin v'ochlin, they took it and ate. There was one such Kohen, he took his own portion, and he took his portion of his friend. So others have the gears over here, they grabbed and took a portion from everybody else. So like this one Kohen did, who grabbed and took somebody else's portion, and this was a very negative thing that he did this. So they called him Ben Chamtzin. We turn to Lamites of the days, they called him the son of a Chamtzin. That didn't mean that his father was a Chamtzin. And he's a Chamtzin, like a Ben Torah, a Ben Chamtzin. So he was a terrible person that he grabbed stuff that he shouldn't have been grabbing. And they called him this Ad Yom Moso. He never lost this name because it was such a terrible thing that he did. So this stayed with him his entire life. He, Bedavko, was given this negative name of being a Ben Chamtzin because he grabbed somebody else's. The rest of the people, they just grabbed, but they didn't grab somebody else's. So he grabbed somebody else. So a Chamtzin is a person that takes something that doesn't belong to him from somebody else. So therefore he's a ganav, and that's why he kept this name for the rest of his life. What does this term Chamtzin, where does it come from? Omar Rabbah, now the Gersa that we have is Bar Shila, but on the side, in the Sosa Shasa tells us it should be Omar Rabbah Bar Rav Shila. And he says, a micro, what's the source in Psukim? The Chamtzin means over here this grabber, this ganav. So he brings down the Pasuk from Tehillim where it says, Elokai, my HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Palteini, please save me, Hatzileini, Miyad Rosha, from the Rishoyim, Mikaf Ma'avel, V'chomets, from the one that is always planning and plotting bad things, V'chomets, and the one who steals, the one who robs. So that's where you see the word chomets, Ben Chamtzin, is somebody who robs, somebody who grabs something that doesn't belong to him. That's one source. Rava Amar Miyacha. Rava says it's from this Pasuk, Pasuk in Yeshaya. The Pasuk says, Limdu Heitev, you should learn to be nice. Dirshu Mishpat, you should seek out justice. And Ashru Chomots, and give support to the person who has been robbed. So therefore, we see this Lashon of Chomots is a robbery. So Ben Chamtzin is the robber. Chomots is the person who's been robbed. Now Rashi and others point out over here that the next statement that further discusses this isn't necessary for our Gemara, but it's just a continuation of the Gemara elsewhere where this comes from. So we just finish off the Drasha. And it says Ashru Chomots. It tells us, what does it mean when we say Ashru Chomots? It means Va'alta Ashru Chomets. It means that when you have a case to judge, and the person, Reuven, lent money to Shimon, and Shimon's not paying him back. So Reuven goes to court and says, hey, Shimon didn't pay me back. I want to be judged. And Shimon says, well, the reason I'm not paying him back is because the collateral I gave him, he ruined. So it tells us that you first judge Reuven's case to have Shimon pay the money. Does Shimon owe the money or not? And only afterwards do you go and judge whether the collateral or not was in fact destroyed by Reuven, that therefore Shimon's entitled to be reimbursed for the collateral. In other words, you first take care of the case of the chomots, and not the case of the chomates. So that's what this drasha means. Gemara continues and tells us more about Shimon HaTzadik. Tana Rabbanon, learn the Braisa. Also, Shana Shemais Bo Shimon HaTzadik. This is an unbelievable story. The year that Nebuch Shimon HaTzadik died. We'll see, he died 7 days after the Sukkot. So that year, when he went into the Lefnai V'Lefnim on Yom Kippur, during the Avodah, that the Kohen Gadol had to do on Yom Kippur, so he saw something miraculous. Now, listen to this story. It's just unbelievable. So he told everybody when he came out from the Lifnai Lifnim that year, Amar Lahem, Bishana Zo Hu Meis. He said to them, he's going to die, meaning himself, is using a euphemism, Bishana Zo Hu Meis. That person's going to die. He's talking about himself. So they asked him, how do you know? Amulo, Minayin Atoyadea. How do you know you're going to die? You're perfectly healthy right now. What makes you think you're going to die this year? So listen what he told them. Amar Lahem. Every year, he told them, when I go in B'chol Yom HaKippur, for the last 40 years, when I've gone Lifnai V'Lifnim, now, nobody's allowed to be Lifnai V'Lifnim. Hayim is damin li zakin echod lavush levonim, the art of levonim, inside the Holy of Holies, I see the image of a zakin echod, an older man, lavush levonim, wearing white, for art of levonim, and he's enwrapped in white clothing, and a white atufa, a crown over his head. Now the Tosfos Yerushalmi brings down that the Yerushalmi says, "Baruch Siv v'chol adam liyab omoy." Nobody's allowed to be there, not even the malachim. V'darshin and afilu osam shekasu behem ufneim pnei adam. Even the malachim aren't allowed to be there. So who was Shimon HaTzadik seeing inside the Kodesh Kadoshim? Umitaritz, the Yerushalmi tells us, Kavod HaKodesh Baruch Hu Haya. This was the image, if you wish, of HaKodesh Baruch Hu, the grandeur, the glory of HaKodesh Baruch Hu. Obviously, nobody saw it. Not even Moshe Rabbeinu could see HaKodesh Baruch Hu and survive. Yet Shimon HaTzadik was in such a madrega that he was zochet to see this image that represented the Kavod of HaKodesh Baruch Hu, as was evidenced by this white man wearing white garments and white atifa. Now, every year, Shimon HaTzadik said, Nichlasi mi v'yotzi mi. He accompanied me in, and he accompanied me out. But this year, the last year of his life, Vayom nizdamin lizokin echad, I saw the same elderly man, but now lovu shechorim, now he's wearing black, v'otav shechorim, and he's enwrapped in a tifa over here, of a talis that's black. And Nichlasi mi, he entered with me, v'lo yotzi mi, and he didn't go out with me. And I saw this as a terrible sign, because black is a sign of Avelus, white is a sign of Tahara and purity, and black is a sign of Avelus. And this year, he didn't accompany me out, and he was dressed in black, and I knew this was it for me. And Achar HaRegel, as soon as Sukkot is over, Chola, he got sick, Shiva Yomim for 7 days, of a mace, and then he died. I didn't see anybody say what was the significance of the 7 days. I will go and hazard a suggestion myself that maybe you'll like, maybe you won't. So it says by the Mabul, before the Mabul, that there was 7 days of mourning for Misu Shelach. So that's the standard understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't bring the Mabul until the Shiva for Misu Shelach was over. Noach got up from Shiva, and then the Mabul came. But the Yerushalmi there brings down a different reason, and it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits Shiva before the death of a person. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, so to say, sitting Shiva for the world he was about to destroy. We can't sit Shiva before the death because we don't know when the death will occur. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything. So the Shiva was the 7 days before the death. So maybe in this situation, this again symbolizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who was dressed in black, Nichnas imi v'lo yotzi imi, but didn't accompany him out. So maybe the Chol Shivas Yomim, maybe I'm suggesting, has to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, sitting Shiva for Shimon HaTzadik for those 7 days, and only afterwards v'meis did he die. If you like it, fine. If not, I'm saying it on my own. Tana Rabbanon, Abay Mishana called Mechurban Abayis. The Brisa tells us 40 years before the Beis HaMikdash Nebuch was destroyed, talking about the second Beis HaMikdash. Lo Yagorul Ole B'yomin. Not once did the Kohen Gadol, who was doing the lottery, Torah, the Kalfi, did it come up, Soil Hashem, in his right hand. And likewise, not once during those 40 years, Lo Yaloshul Shol Zohoris Malbin, not once did the red bindle, the red piece of wool, turn white. The lawyer near my Rabbi Dolek, and not once did the near my Rabbi stay lit all night long. It went out, as did all the other candles. And Nebuch, the doors of the Beis HaMikdash swung open on their own, as if to say, come in and sack the Beis HaMikdash, come in and our enemies and destroy the Beis HaMikdash. This made Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai upset. Ashigora ben Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to the gate, so to say, Amalo, Heichal, Heichal. He said to the Beis HaMikdash, Mipnei ma'atom ma'avisatzvicho, why are you doing this to terrify yourself, so to say? I know that's going to happen. Yodani b'cho, shesov cho asid l'charvit. I know the nevuah that Nebuch, the Beis HaMikdash, is going to be destroyed. Ukvarinis nabi alecha, Zechaya ben Ido, the great Navi Zechaya. So he already prophesied that the Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed and that the gates are going to be opened. Pesach levono d'losecha, and he said that Levanun is a reference, as we'll see in a moment, to the Beis HaMikdash. Open up your doors, open up the gates, and let the fire come in and consume all the cedar wood. So yes, this is going to happen, but not yet. Wait till that day. Don't open up before then. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai got upset, so to say, that the Beis HaMikdash was opening up too soon. Let HaKadosh Baruch Hu decide when the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. Don't invite them in a minute before HaKadosh Baruch Hu says so. Mark continues, says, Amar Yitzhak ben Tavloi, Rabbi Yitzhak ben Tavloi said, Lomo nikra shmo levanon. Why is the Beis HaMikdash called levanon? So he explains, Shemalvin, levanon, comes from whitening. It's whitening of an Hussein Shal Yisrael. The Beis HaMikdash has the ability to be mechaper on our avonos, and therefore it whitens Klai Yisrael. So that's why it's called levanon. Similarly, Amar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia said, Lomo nikra shmo yar. Why is the Beis HaMikdash also referred to as yar? As the Pasuk says, Beis Yar HaLevanon. So it's called the forest. So This is a famous story we had earlier in the Masechta, Lo Melacha, to teach us. Just like a forest goes and grows and increases and blossoms, so too the Beis HaMikdash blossomed. This is a famous nace that occurred. The Amar of Hoshaya. Hoshaya said, "B'shoah shebar Shlomo Beis HaMikdash, when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, he planted gold. He planted golden trees with all different types of fruits." Now, it's symbolic, and nevertheless, for you would see in Paris with Manam, they ripened and they produced fruits. This nace that occurred was a miraculous thing, that the golden trees produced fruits, and when the wind blew, the fruits would fall off the trees. That the fruits would blow in the wind like it did in the Levanon. So therefore, from this pasuk in Tehillim, we see that this nace occurred. And all this gold satisfied all the financial needs of the Kohanim, gave them parnasa. However, but when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Yavshu, all these trees and fruits dried up. It says that this perach of the Levanon is destroyed. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will eventually return it to us. This remaining should occur as soon as possible. Shinemar paroach tifrach. It will again go and bring forth fruit. V'sogel and rejoice. Av gilas v'rane in a very, very, very joyous song. Kevod halavanon nitan lo, and the kavod or the glory of the Levanon shall be sent to her again. Now we quote the Mishnah. It says, "Nisan nashni asirim." The Kohen Gadol, according to our Mishnah, put one of the lots on the Sawyer in front of him, those to his right, one on the one to his left, and he had to do this, and he said, Sawyer LaHashem, or just LaHashem. Gemara says, Tadu Rabbanu, bring down the following brisa, Eser Pami Maskir Kohen Gadol is Hashem Bayom, Bo Bayom, on Yom Kippur, 10 times did the Kohen Gadol say the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he spelled it out, either the Yud Kei, Vav Kei, he said it as it's pronounced, as the words should pronounce it, which we normally don't say, we use the Aleph Dalet Nun Yud pronunciation. It was called the Adnus, as opposed to the Yudke Vavke pronunciation. Or we brought down from Rav Haigon that it was an actual 42-letter Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he said. So he said this 10 times on every Yom Kippur. As upon him asked, Kohen Gadol is Hashem Baba Yom, when Shlosha Vidur Rishon, the first time when he did the Vidur on his par, the par of the Kohen Gadol, and that was for himself. So it said three times, Ono Hashem, Kapanah, etc. So he said the shame three times. Ushlosha vidu shame. Then when he did the chiper badov abeso, he had to do the vidu again. This way for all for the other kohanim. So again, he did it three times. Ushlosha v'sar mishtalech. And then he did the vidu for all of Klai Yisrael on the sar mishtalech. So that's three, three, and three is nine. And the echad the gorol. So the tenth one was we did the gorol. So he said the sar lashem or lashem chatos or lashem. So therefore, the echad the gorol. So that's number 10. And when he said the shame, it could be heard all the way away in Yericho, which the Gemara is now going to tell us was far away. It was 10 parsa away. A parsa is 4 mil, so this would be 40 mil. A mil is roughly a kilometer, so Yericho is roughly 40 kilometers from Yerushalayim, and nevertheless, they could hear the shame of Hashem in Yericho. Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, right, this is probably why before we had Amar Rabba Bar Rav Shila, so they mistakenly, the editors put down Bar Bar Shila before, but it should be Bar Rav Shila before, but here it's Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana. Yerushalayim Liricho Asar Parsos, that the distance between Yerushalayim and Yericho was 10 parsa, again, 40 mil, 40 kilometers roughly. Betzir Dalso Sahecho, and the hinges on the doors of the Sharm of the Beis HaMikdash, when they opened up, they could be heard, Nishma Bishmona Techum Shabbos, they could be heard the distance of 8 Tchum Shabbos. Again, Tchum Shabbos is 2,000 Amos, which is a mil, and it was able to be heard 8 times 2,000, 16,000 Amos away. Tosfos Yeshayahu points out that this seems to contradict what we previously learned in the Mishnah and Talmud, that you can hear it all the way in Yericho. So Tosfos over there says that's not a problem. The door hinge could only be heard 16,000 Amos away, but the door itself could be heard all the way in Yericho. So that's one simple way to be metaritz this, that it's not a stira. Alternatively, they couldn't tell what the sound was. They could hear the sound in Yericho, but they didn't know that it was the door hinge. But The other Gemara tells us that it was the door hinge that they heard. The Ritva gives a different teretz, and the Ritva says it depends when. When Klai Yisrael was doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, so then you could hear the Sharim open up, the door hinge opening up, so you could hear that all the way to Yericho. But Nebuch, when it wasn't that Klai Yisrael was doing as much that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, we weren't as good, so then it was only heard these 8 times the Trum, the 16,000 Amos distance away. The Brisa continues and says, Izim Shebi Yericho, the goats in Yericho, Hayu misachos mereach haketores. They would sneeze from the smell of the reach of the ketores burning the incense that was offered in the Beis Hamikdash in the morning and the afternoon. Even though they were in Yericho, 10 parsa away, they smelled this and they sneezed from it. Noshim shebi Yericho, the women in Yericho, ainon tzricha lisbasim mereach haketores. The women in Yericho didn't have to put on perfume because they were nice smelling because of the reach of the ketores could be smelled and have an impact even these 10 parsa away. Likewise, Kala b'Yerushalayim, the brides in Yerushalayim, ain't a tzrich l'skashet m'reach ketores. They never needed to put on any perfume because of the reach of the ketores. Amar Rav, now we have the Gersa of Yosef ben Dulgoy, but the Gersa on the side, it says Eliezer ben Diglai, and he said, Izim hayu li'aba bahare. The Gersa that we have is Michmar, others say it's Michvar, and others have the Gersa, it wasn't Hare, but it should be Ore. In any event, wherever this was, he said, my father had goats over there, and they were, they also would sneeze because of the smelling of the incense from the haktoris. He said that once an older man told him, one time I went to Shiloh. Now the Mishkan stood in Shiloh for 369 years before it was destroyed. And I was able to still smell the ksolas. He must have been a holy person. And he was able to smell the ktores bein kosolel, between the walls that had sunk into the ground from the Mishkan Shiloh, so he was still able to smell the ktores, even though this was 1,000 years later, because this was during the time of Rav Chiya bar Avin. Instead of the name of Rishuv and Karcha, this was yet almost the 400 years of the Beis HaMikdash, from the second Beis HaMikdash, the 400 years of the first Beis HaMikdash, and you had an additional years when it was a Novan Givon, so it's talking about 1,000 years earlier that the last time Mishkan Shiloh was used, and yet he was still able to smell the Ktores Mibein Kosoleha. Where it continues, says, Amar Rav Yani says, Aliyas Goril Mitol Kalfi Miakebes. Rav Yani holds that if you didn't go and take out the lotteries from the Kalfi, so then that would be Ma'akev. Everything on Yom Kippur had to be done by the Kohen Gadol. If it wasn't done properly, so it had to be redone. So you needed to go and pull out the lotteries from the Kalfi in order to be not Ma'akev the Avoda. However, Hanocha, the placement of the two lots on each of the animals, respectively, animal canvas, that was not Ma'akev. That's the opinion of Rav Yannai, that the Aliyas Goril is Ma'akev. Rav Yochanan disagrees. Rav Yochanan Amar, no. Even Af Aliyah in a Ma'akeves. Never mind the Hanocha, he agrees it's not Ma'akeves. But even the Aliyah, he says it's not Ma'akeves. It's very nice, he's supposed to do that. That's the way the rabbi said to do this. But if you didn't do it this way, if you just put one to be the Sar Lashem, one to be the Sar Lazazel, so then it would be acceptable. As Rashi says, he didn't do a mitzvah, he's supposed to do this, but even if you didn't do the mitzvah, it's not always Ma'akev. So that's the opinion of Yochanan. So they're arguing about the Aliyas Agoro, but they agree the Hanocha is certainly not Ma'akev. Now, we have two ways to understand this Machlokas between Rav Yane and Rav Yochanan. And this is going to be based upon a Machlokas Tanaim between Rav Yehuda and Rav Nechemya that we're going to learn in the Braisa later in the Masechta. In that Braisa, Rav Yehuda and Rav Nechemya disagree as to whether all of the Avoda that the Kohen Gadol wore with his white garments is Ma'akev or not. And if you didn't do everything in the right order, in the right way, you have to repeat it or not. And Rav Yehuda holds that it's only the avoda that the Kohen Gadol does, lifnai vilifnim, that's ma'akev. But anything that the Kohen Gadol does when he's wearing the white garments outside the heichal, so then that's not ma'akev. So the kalfi was done outside, even though the Kohen Gadol is wearing the white garments, so that would not be ma'akev according to Rav Yehuda. Rechemi says, no, anytime the Kohen Gadol is wearing his white garments, so that's ma'akev. So now the Gemara wants to understand the machlokes between Rav Yane and Rav Yochanan over here as to whether the Aliyas Goril is ma'akev or not. Say it's based upon that machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemya. Right? Rav Yani and Rav Yochanan Amarayim. So we want to base it as saying this Kitanai, like the Tanayak Machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Nechemya. So I'll leave it to Rav Yehuda, according to Rav Yehuda, the Amar who said, Dvar Manasim, if you did love him, Mibachot, Slo Makva. Only the things that have done lefnai v'lefnim ma'aki, but things that have done outside the heichal, even though the kohen gadol is wearing his white garments, lo ma'akva. So then, kuli ava lo pligi lo ma'akva. So then, everybody, even Rav Yanai, would agree that the aliyas gorel is not ma'aki. So Rav Yanai and Rav Yochanan both would say that according to Rav Yehuda, we don't have a machlokes. The only time we have a machlokes, keep ligi, is aliva the Rav Nechemya. Within the opinion of Rav Nechemya, it says whenever the kohen gadol is wearing his white garments, it is ma'akev. So how come over here there's an opinion that says it's not ma'akev? So man the omer ma'akev according to Rav Yanai says it's ma'akev. Oh, he says I hold like Rav Nechemya. Rav Nechemya. No, why does Rav Yochanan hold like Rav Nechemya? Well, man the omer lo ma'akev. Rav Yochanan says it's not ma'akev. If you're saying it's like Rav Nechemya, so he says no. Hani mili avoda. Even Rav Nechemya only says it's any time you're wearing the white garments, even outside the holy of holies, even outside the lefnai v'lefnim, is ma'akev, but it's for an avoda. And Hagrola lavavoda, as we already alluded to several times, most hold that the hagrola, the doing the lottery, is not an avoda. Even if you want to say that it's required, it's still not an avoda. So therefore, that's what they're arguing about. That's what Rav Yanai and Rav Yochanan are arguing about within the opinion of Rabbi Nechemya. That Rav Yanai says that it is ma'akev, because it's an avoda, and Rav Yochanan says that even Rabbi Nechemya would say it's not ma'akev, because it's not really an avoda. That's the first way to understand the machlokas between Rav Yanai and Rav Yochanan. Ikad Yamrei, however, there's another way to understand it, and that, in fact, Aliv the Rav Nechemya, according to Rav Nechemya, says that it's ma'akev. Anytime it's michutz, even outside the lefnai v'lefnim, it's ma'akev. If the kohen goes wearing his white garments, the Amar ma'akva, who holds that it's ma'akev. So then, even Rav Yochanan agrees that it's ma'akev. Kuli Amar lo pligi the ma'akva. Even Rav Yochanan says it's ma'akev over here, because it's going according to opinion. Rav Nechemya says it's ma'akev. So where do Rav Yanai and Rav Yochanan argue? Keep ligi only according to the opinion. I'll leave with Rav Yehuda. Only according to the opinion of Yehuda. Now, Rav Yehuda seems to say that it's not ma'akev outside the heichal. So why should this be ma'akev? So keep ligi, I'll leave with Rav Yehuda. How do you understand that? So mandi amalo ma'akev, according to Rav Yochanan, says not ma'akev. Oh, very simple. Rav Yehuda, he holds like Rav Yehuda. But how would Rav Yanai say that it is ma'akev according to Rav Yehuda? Mandi amalo ma'akev, Rav Yanai says ma'akev. Why would Rav Yehuda say it's ma'akev over here? He says this is the exception to the rule. Shani hacha, the Tana Beikra, because the pasuk says asher Allah, asher Allah. It says it twice. Trei zimne, and we have a rule, whenever something is repeated, it's teaching us ma'akev. If it says it only one time, it's l'mitzvah, but not la'akuva. But if it says it twice, then it's not only l'mitzvah, but it's also l'ikuva. Ah, so that's how you understand the second version, Ikad Yamrei, that the machlokas is only within the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, we're going to question this. Meisvei, we question this. We have another brayse that it says mitzvah lahagril. It says that there's a mitzvah to do hagrola. Now, v'imlohigril, if you're not doing the hagrola, nevertheless it's kosher. Now, this clearly says it's not ma'akev. So bishlom alach lishna d'amas alibah Rav Yehuda kuli avolo pligid lo ma'akev. According to the first version that said the machlokes between Rav Yanai and Rav Yochanan has nothing to do with Rabbi Yehuda, they all agree that that's not ma'akev according to Rav Yehuda. Oh, so who's the author of this brisa? It's a mitzvah lahagril b'mloigru kosher. Oh, amani Rav Yehuda. That's clearly the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And now we turn to daf mem amud aleph. But here's the question, according to the second version, according to the Ikad Yamrei, Elach Nishl Yamrei's Pligi, that said that Rav Yochanan and Rav Yanai are in fact arguing according to Rav Yehuda. So who's the author of this Raisa? Bishlomo Lamandi Yomel Omeakva, according to Rav Yochanan, says it's not Ma'akev. It's clearly this Raisa, Omani, Rav Yehuda. He clearly says it's not Ma'akev. He says, Mitzvah Hagril, Biblo Higril, Kosher. But Elaman Diomar, according to Rav Yanai, who says Ma'akva, so then, Omani, then who's the author of this Raisa? Where it says, Tani, you have to go read the Braisa, not mitzvah lahagril, but mitzvah lehaniach, is a mitzvah to go and place the lots on the soil Hashem and the soil Azazel. But if you didn't do that, imlo hiniach, so then, kosher, it's still good. So that's how you have to learn the Braisa, then there's no problem, and the Ikad Yamrei works. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's shir.